Now then further, you see what he says, what is the argument? Criminal meddling. In that, all right, you answer.
In that he inquires into things below the earth and in the sky.
Good. Now what does it mean?
Questioning
thoughts. Yes, good. He inquires into earth and sky, which means that something that is not legitimate he is inquiring into and rouses people to inquire into things which they should not inquire into. Inquire means questioning. You question what is beyond the sky, what is below the earth, which you cannot normally see and which only religion answers. Only religion has answered already, so you have no right to question again, according to the accusers. And if you inquire into this question, you are inquiring into the gods, questioning the gods. So as Tolkien rightly said, it has implication that you are breaking the religion. And breaking the religion is criminal. Alright, then father?
And makes the weaker argument defeat the strong.
Now this is another. It is criminal because you know that the argument is weak. And yet you show how it can meet, how it can defeat a stronger argument. That means you have a falsehood on your side, it's a weaker argument. Your argument is stronger, so truth is on your side. And yet you succeed in showing that this is better than the other one. You are spoiling the minds of people. You are showing that the falsehood can win against the truth. And then you tell other people, you also follow the same example. Not only you, but you ask others also. Now this is the argument. So we repeat now. Socrates is guilty of criminal meddling. In that, he inquires into the sky and into what is below the earth. And he shows the weaker argument can defeat the stronger argument. And then he asks other people to follow his example. Now this is the argument. Now see how Socrates is answering this argument. You have now read his argument quite well. We only want the gist of that argument. We shall try to bring out the basic argument. Now he points this out, that this is an argument which is very difficult to refute. You can argue against anybody. Any one of us can be taken to a court of law and you can argue about that person, say, he is doing criminal meddling. And he shows that which is false to be true. And he asks other people to follow. Now how would you argue? Supposing you are in the box. You have never done this kind of thing at all. You know it very well. But somebody comes and accuses. How would you refute this argument? You think of it. Then you will see the value of Socratic arguments. You would normally say, let somebody who has been misled be brought here. Isn't it? You would say that if this accusation is valid, somebody should come here before me, before the court, and should say that, well, here is what I have done. Here I have misled somebody, and I am asking other people to follow it. You would do that, isn't it? And then the court would be obliged to ask the prosecutor, kindly bring some such witnesses. Now supposing there are many people who have been hurt by you and they want to see that you are punished and they all join together and many people come to the court and tell you, yes, it is true, then what do? You know it is, they are all wrong. Now the position of Socrates was of that kind. There are many people who would be prepared to say to the court, it is true. Now what is the way in which you can argue? Now if you read Socratic argument, you will find, first of all Socrates says, I admit that this argument is very difficult for me to refute. He says very clearly. And he says the reason is twofold. First of all, I don't even know those people who have made this accusation. I don't even know these people. Because this kind of argument has been made to many people when they were young children. Their fathers used to tell their children, look, there is a Socrates who is called a very wise man, but he is capable of showing what is not true to be true. And he inquires into the sun and the moon, inquires into the sky and what is below the earth. Don't go near him, because he will spoil you. So from childhood this story has been told to many children. And children normally take for granted that what is told to them by their parents is true. So this story is now going on in the whole place. Now if these children who have now become quite big men, if they are all brought together into the court as witnesses, they will say, yes, we have heard it, it is true. Now their parents, who are the parents? Socrates doesn't even know which parents have poisoned their children in this way. So he says, my task is very difficult. I don't even know my accusers. I don't know those people who have poisoned their children's minds right from their childhood, who have now become big men by now. They will confirm the accusation because they have been told from their childhood. So they believe it to be true. They will say, my parents have said this, something must have happened to them. So they are saying something that is true. So he says, my task is very difficult. So Socrates says, his argument is, you kindly consult the many people who are here. At least they have come into my personal contact. Ask them, have I ever spoken of this? Have I ever misled them? If you have any report in your mind, kindly tell your neighbors who are sitting here and tell them, no, this is not true. This is the only argument he can make, there is no other argument. He said, just see, ask anybody here who has come into my contact and ask them whether this is true or not. This is one set of argument he makes. There is now second set of argument. What is the second set? He himself proposes to inquire into the following. He says, if you are, there are many people who will now tell me, Socrates, if you are so innocent and that this accusation is completely baseless, then how has this complaint come about at all? Kindly explain. If something is completely wrong, then I should explain why it has come about. So the second set of argument of Socrates is the answer to this question. He himself raises this question and then himself answers this question. He says, my friends, you will ask me that if I am so innocent, how is it that so many people have made this argument, this accusation against you? What have you done in your life that these accusations are running about? Something must be there behind it. So he explains why this accusation has come about. Now, can anybody tell me how he explains? Right? If you read now, once again, you see, he starts answering the question. He says, the origin of this accusation is God Himself. It so happened that a friend of his went to Delphi, and in the temple, a priestess was asked the question, is there anybody wiser than Socrates? This was the question. And the priestess said no. Meaning thereby that Socrates is the wisest. This is the beginning of the whole trouble. The priestess or the oracle in Delphi said that Socrates is the wisest man in the whole world. So he said, when I heard this, I was taken aback. He said, I believe that God cannot be wrong. What God says is right. But I do not agree with it. Because I know that I am not the wisest. There are so many wise people around. How can I be wisest? I know my own limitations. I know how wrong I am. So I thought that this is the one time when God is wrong. I did not believe it. But not to believe in God's word is a very responsible thing. I wanted to believe, but I could not believe. So what did I do? I had to carry out an investigation. I had to find out what is the truth behind God's words. It was my duty to find out, because I could not rest aside. I could not say that what oracle has said is right, because I really did not believe in it. And yet not to believe in God would be a crime. I believe in God, I would like to respect God's words. So I had no alternative but to make inquiry, to find out whether it is really true. Now you tell me what is wrong in this. Then he said, in my investigation, I met three kinds of people whom I thought they were very wise people. Now what are the three categories of people he met? You remember? He first met politicians. Second, he met poets. And third, he met craftsmen. So he says, when I met a politician, and people believed that he was very wise, and he himself believed that he was still wiser. Such a man I met first. People thought that he was wise, and he himself thought he was wiser. Such a man I met. I selected one man who surely would be wiser than me in any case, because people believed that he was wise, and he himself believed that he was wiser. So I met him. And after investigating, after questioning him, I found that he did not know at all. My conclusion was that he did not know, nor did I know. Not that I knew and he did not know. The only difference was that he did not know but believed that he knew. On my part, I did not know and I knew that I do not know. It's the only difference between the two. So in the scale, who is better? I found that I was better, because where I did not know, I knew that I did not know. Whereas that man did not know and knew that he knew. So in the scale of the truth, I was certainly better. So I came to the conclusion that this man, who is supposed to be wise, who believes himself to be wiser, he is certainly not wise. But in comparison to him, at least I was wiser. This was my conclusion. Then I went to another politician, and the same result. He claimed that he knew, whereas he did not know. And then I told him, frankly, you claim to know, but you don't know. Now, very few people like to take the truth if somebody is told that you don't know it, you claim that you know. So they became my enemies. Then I went to poets because poets are supposed to be inspired, very learned, almost like gods. That is what all poets claim to be. They come, they write with the inspiration. So I went to them and I said, here is your poem, can you explain to me this poem? But they could not explain what they had written themselves. So I came to the conclusion that they are like those people who are inspired so well that they don't know what they write. So I concluded that I was certainly better than they. Then I went to craftsmen. What did the craftsmen do? He said, here, of course, I found them very wise because they knew about their craft very well. They were not like poets who wrote and yet they could not explain. These people were better, at least they could explain their art, their craft. But when I began to ask other questions, they did not know the answers, but yet they pretended they knew the answers. And they thought they had the answers. So while they were good in their own profession, they held views about other things about which they had no knowledge. So that was their fault. So I told them what was their fault. But I came to the conclusion that what God wants to say is only this, that wisdom only belongs to God. If I say that Socrates